The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. A moment of sanity. In a sea of madness. Katie Hopkins on today's News Talk Radio. TNT.
And a very warm welcome to all of the TNT tribe here at the Katie Hopkins Show on Thursday, the 8th of June. Coming up in the show today, we are going to get to this annual fraud report. It's out and it's being hidden behind a very, very dull lady called Lee, question mark. But first, attacks on Trump coming in on all sides. My question to you on the chat, will he make it to the Republican nomination? Literally everything incoming all at once. And of course, our top three stories out of the UK. You know what to do, good tribe. Get to the chat and bring a friend. TNTRadio.live. Or here are the numbers that you need to call.
Stay with Katie Hopkins and speak your mind. And we'll listen. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
It certainly is, good people. So get yourselves to the chat. Say a good morning, good evening, a hello to all of our tribe on there. We're growing strongly. Good morning, tribe. It's one of my favorite things is the mornings or the evenings or whatever. All get onto the chat if you will. You know how much this show is really your show. This show is really about conversations that you're having on the chat. And I'm just here as some kind of numpty to get to help articulate and bring some volume to them. So do get chatting so that we can all join in the conversation together. It is a glorious day, would you believe, yet again here in the UK, although I did just bump my head on a hanging basket. I won't even tell you the words that came out of my mouth. But my second thought was, did my neighbour see me do that? At which point I realised I can't be hurt that badly if I'm already worrying about my ego and whether my neighbour saw me nearly knock myself out on my own hanging basket because I'm an idiot. And it is a glorious day because lovely Mark is back here once again loading up the tour bus, also known as the family car, with everything for the road, back on the road again tomorrow morning. Straight after the show, I'll be hopping in the tour bus back to Bournemouth for another brilliant night with the Speakeasy Gang. This will be 350 people, I believe. It's a big one. We were turned down from Bournemouth Pavilions, had booked the show after the success of Blackpool. I think it was one activist, actually a stalker, who's now being investigated by the police because of certain behaviours. And so Bournemouth Pavilions didn't have a spine. They pulled. Once again, the Speakeasy Network leapt up and caught me mid-fall and put me back on my feet again. So off on the road to Bournemouth, and I can't wait to see you all there. And in future, we'll be doing some additional nights because we sold out in about 2 seconds without ever telling anyone that tickets were on sale. And my mother and father, important for you to know, are at the Royal Cornwall Show today. I don't know if you know the Royal Cornwall Show, but if you go to kind of country shows, the Royal Cornwall Show is one of the biggest. In my opinion, it's absolutely the best, but I'm totally biased. Our family used to show Herefords down there. In fact, they still do. So mother and father go down there and tend to know all the farmers. Hooray for all farmers out there. Well done to anybody going to the Royal Cornwall Show. And if you see a lady who looks a bit like me with chubby cheeks, or a gentleman, a tall gentleman in a dodgy hat with a large nose, that's my father. Yes, I got his nose. So do say hello. If you're suspicious that that's my mum and dad, just say hello anyway. Because what's to lose? And of course, the question on everybody's lips.
Hey, Ma, what's for dinner? Hey, Ma, what you got? Hey, Ma, will it be much longer? My hunger's getting stronger and I can't wait. Hey, Ma, what's for dinner? Hey, Ma, what you
got? I love that. Hey, Ma, that's the... Do you see, we got a bit of an extended version. And I think I much prefer it, don't you? It feels much more authentic to what we are as this sort of goes on a bit like me. So the big question, of course, and it's whether Suzanne is there or not. The big question is to Suzanne, what's for dinner? But everybody can share, because what we've agreed is, we, you know, we don't want to put the burden all on one person, because poor Suzanne will never get to leave TNT Radio again. But so please do share your dinner. And maybe actually, if you're having a tragic dinner, you know, something really sad, let me know what that tragic dinner is as well. I'm just looking. Wine, wait, a sandwich with wine? A sandwich with wine? That's a perfect dinner right there. So yes, do share your sad dinners, even if they're not as exciting as Suzanne's dinners, because Suzanne's are pretty special. So that's the question. And I have a test for you, please, on the chat. And my test is related to my efforts to prepare for the show today. I need you to not look this up. I need you to not cheat. And I need you to not duck-duck-go it. I need you to have a go at this. Bear in mind, there's no shame. I tried to do this. I couldn't. I just tried it on Lovely Mark. He couldn't. I'm asking you to, and it's linked to the story coming up shortly at 9:20 about Trump being attacked on all sides. I'd like you to go to the chat, please, tntradio.live. If you've never been on before, get on there. It's really quite a riot. Tntradio.live. And my question to you is, can you spell subpoena? So don't think about it. Don't cheat. Put down the spelling of subpoena, as in Steve Bannon in the United States has been subpoenaed to turn up at court with the documents, right? Subpoenaed. So needless to say, I couldn't spell it for toffee. I'm fascinated by the whole thing now. It comes from the Latin sub puena. That makes it sound quite Italian and dramatic, but it's sub puena, and it means under law, under power, of course. Puema, Latin, power. And the full phrase, I'm just looking here, sub puena duce tecum. And so that means under punishment, duce it shall be brought with you. Bit of Latin there. See? My translation skills never fail me. So the tecum is you shall bring with you. And duce it, the document's it. So suba puena, under punishment, you shall bring it with you. So can you spell it is my question. And it links to what we're talking about with Trump later and Bannon having just been subpoenaed, or subpoenaed, as we would say in our talk. But I think the Latin is rather more glorious, isn't it? Suba puena. Oh, sub puena. Wait a minute. I see, my brain somehow very good. I love that, Megan. Megan, good. Yes, subpoenaed when you do it, but suba if it was Latin. Yes. Did I do Latin at school? Well, of course, darlings. You know, I went to a convent school with nuns, so one had to do Latin. And also, I love Latin. Subpoena. Now try subpoenaed. Yes, exactly. Well done, Nook. I don't know if you're trying to be Nick or you are a Nook. Subpoenaed. Very, very good. Whoever's written Sir Penis, you should be ashamed, because it's that sort of gutter level of, you know, that's tragic and also hilarious. So no, it's not subpoenaed. Subpoena. Exactly. It feels like a double P, but S-U-B, P-O-E-N-A-E-D, A-E-D. Good Lord, a comprehensive education in the 80s. Woohoo, rock and roll. Well done, everybody. I'm so proud of you all. My sad dinner on Sunday was a tin of ravioli. This is the most glorious thing. Hey, this is what we need. We need more of the sad dinners. So my sad dinner on Sunday was a tin of ravioli and two leftover Aunt Bessie's roast potatoes. I think this is really important. So what we're going to be doing then, we're building this show as we go, as you see. I mean, in life, not on a daily basis, is once we have Suzanne's super dinner, we're going to pair it with the saddest dinner. And you can pick from like your last week of dinners. It doesn't have to be today. But a tin of ravioli. My son, do I get a gold star? Nook, yes, you do, my darling. You can have a prize if you like. we send out little cards here as prizes, that quotes that I've made that have offended various people. So Nuck, N-U-C-K, if you want to email in, landlord, as in the pub landlord, landlord at katiesarms.com with your name, Nuck. We need an address, but we'll send you a present for knowing how to spell subpoenaed. A 6-inch sub tuna melt. Oh, a 6-inch sub tuna melt. It's not a sub tuna, is it? It's a sub that's a tuna melt. That's quite good. Asda ravioli is apparently disgusting. I will get to some stories in a minute, but the chat just, I really, you know how much I love the chat, and you know that I love the chat because it's all of us. So my son rang me the other day when I was on the road somewhere performing, right? And so get the, you know that I don't think this way about myself, but imagine that there is some sort of glamour, right, about performing. Imagine the theatre, the lights, the red velvet, the curtain, da-da-da. Someone comes out, there's music and there's smoke and there's a dress and all this. My son rang me just before I'm about to go on stage and went, what date does ravioli go off? Like, does ravioli really go off? Because the tin in the cupboard, I think, was about like 4 years ago. And I was like, nah, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. That stuff is like, you know, if there was some sort of nuclear event, you could rely on a tin of ravioli, couldn't you, to still be fine if you had to make your way through. And he ate it and he was fine. Message, ravioli never expires. Should we do some top stories, shall we, out of the UK today? Or should we just talking about our food and what's going on? Let us do my top one, a joke by a Chinese stand-up comedian. Is there such a thing? No, I'm sure. I'm sure Chinese people can be funny. A joke by a Chinese stand-up comedian seen to be ridiculing the military has prompted a crackdown on the country's booming comedy scene. So I'm interested in this because, of course, I do my little bit of stand-up, or at least you'll know that strategically what I'm actually doing is pretending to be funny in order that I can still deliver the same messages that I need to deliver, but confuse the people who are in power into not being able to censor me because now I'm being funny. And what does that mean? Anyway, but it hasn't stopped there. Music performances, this is in China, are now being targeted, hitting the country's live entertainment sector just as it recovers from years of COVID restrictions. So basically, the stand-up comedian in China, he's called Li Haoxi. Haoxi, yeah, Haoshi. It's a whole lot of vowels right there, isn't it? The Welsh love a consonant and the Chinese love a vowel. Li Haoxi, he told a joke. Here's the joke. He described two dogs chasing a squirrel. Okay. And he said they should adopt a good style of work in order to fight and win battles. It was an expression which the Chinese leader, Xi, has used to praise the People's Liberation Army. Audio of the joke was shared on social media. Suddenly it got weaponized by ultra-nationalists who targeted even the audience member for daring to, members, there was more than one person in the audience, for daring to laugh at it. So Li Haoxi was detained. His contract has been terminated. He's been handed a massive fine, as has his employer, so presumably that's the venue. And he's expected to receive a prison sentence after police opened an official investigation into his routine, which, in their words, had caused a severe social impact. Oh, my God. So, look, he's standing there making a gag. I mean, I've never found... I don't want to be, you know, in any way, you know, put everybody into the same boat. But do I find Chinese people funny? No. In fact, when they stand in doorways, truly, I know racial stereotypes, terrible thing, but really. Also, when they walk four abreast down a pavement. But anyway, he described two dogs chasing a squirrel and said it should adopt a good style of work in order to fight and win battles. Okay, so by Chinese people, this is considered hilarious. Tell you what. I ought to take my stand-up tour to China. If they find two dogs chasing a squirrel and a comparison to the People's Liberation Army praise funny, geez, my material is going to go down a storm, isn't it? I'll have them rolling in the aisles. Anyway, he was fined, he was detained, and he's facing prison for telling a joke. I have to say, we spend a lot of time pointing fingers, don't we? We spend a lot of time pointing fingers at the Chinese, go, isn't that shocking? I don't see how we're that much different to the Chinese. There's more jokes you can't tell than you can, more areas of language you can't go near for fear of the Board of Deputies coming out saying no one can ever speak about the Holocaust again. It's a banned subject. No one's allowed to talk about it. In Australia, they've just banned the Nazi symbol. You're not allowed it anymore. It's not allowed. And you're not allowed to joke about many things. Absolutely, venues pull because they don't want any trouble. You know, they pull from under you even when you've sold the place out because they don't want any trouble. So we can point our fingers at China all we want. I don't see any difference at all between us and China, other than that my stand-up material is much more funny than Hao Li, whatever he was called. You will notice, good people, we're not getting to our top three stories, so we're going to get to top two. The second story is New York. Did you see the pictures? Good Lord. So forest fires in Canada, massive, massive amounts of smoke blows down into New York City, which is now like some orangey, dusky, black skies. And it always freaks humans out when the sky goes black, for obvious reasons. And I don't just mean nighttime before you get on chat. But so they're supposed to be wearing masks. They're supposed to stay indoors in New York City. The New York mayor, who we might get to again later, he's a guy called Eric Adams, the most useless man on the face of the planet. And believe me, there's some strong competition for that title. He couldn't lead, Eric Adams, the New York mayor, couldn't lead, you know, a fat bird to a pizza. He's honestly, so the sky's gone black in New York City. Eric Adams, who is black, probably thinks it's a good thing. He'd probably be saying, oh, the sky's gone black. Oh yeah, that's good, because black is better than white. The sky's gone black. Yeah, Black Lives Matter. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, the sky's gone black. And the real reason, as any farmer will tell you, is because the climate lunatics don't allow people to do controlled burning anymore. Forest management is not being done correctly as it should be. You know, you need to have managed burns in order to stop forest fires. That's how this works. There's huge amounts of underfunding of agriculture and people that would otherwise normally look after forests. And as Australians know too well, many of these fires are dang well, no disrespect, but dang well started by firefighters who want to be heroes. It's all very odd. Many of them started by greenies who want to prove that the climate's changing. Bonkers times, my darlings. So those were our top two stories. We had an ambition of top three, but you know, you can only do so much in a lifetime, can't you? We are going to have the tiniest commercial break you ever did hear. We're going to come straight back, and I'm asking, as Trump is under fire at every level, in every direction, and I'm going to bring you some of the incoming fire he's facing today. Will he make it as the Republican nominee? Go nowhere, good people, apart from to the chat, tntradio.live. And we will be right back after this short commercial break. My name is Katie Hopkins, and this is TNT Radio.
You should hear what Steve Hook is talking about.
An Air Force veteran is blowing the whistle on an alleged secret U.S. military program, which he claims has been retrieving craft of, quote, non-human origin, unquote, for at least several decades now. Now, the funny thing is when you talk about a story like this, 50% of the audience rolls their eyes. The other 50% says, I knew it. I don't know where I come down on this, but this guy is highly credible. David Charles Grush, 36-year-old decorated former combat officer from Afghanistan. He filed a whistleblower complaint to Congress and the Intelligence Community Inspector General on classified information that he insists proves the recoveries of partial fragments through up to fully intact vehicles that have been made decades through present-day U.S. government, its allies and defense contractors. The bottom line on this, all this stuff, is that once upon a time, it was like, well, we don't want to tell the public because we don't want to sow panic throughout the populace. Okay, that makes sense, right? But that kind of became a catch-all, I think. At some point, the population starts to figure out, you know, there's a good chance we're not alone. And then you realize that maybe the reason they're keeping it so hush-hush is because of what this fella's saying. They're reverse engineering this stuff.
Steve Hook on today's News Talk, TNT Radio. A better business tip from TNT Radio.
News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Stay with Katie Hopkins when you have something to say. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Now, you'll know, my good people, we've been asking our darling Suzanne, what's for dinner with this handy jingle.
Hey, Ma, what's for dinner? Hey, Ma, what's
so
got?
Smooth.
Hey, Ma, will it be much longer?
And we have an answer. Suzanne, mine isn't flash at all tonight. She does this. You see, this is what Suzanne does. Oh, it's nothing special. No, nothing special. Just quickly whipped it together. It's just the 18 courses paired with the wine. Look, listen, mine isn't flash at all tonight. Easy and quick, family love it. Sweet and sour sausages. Sausages that she's handmade from the beast that she butchered herself. And then not only has she gone sausages, because I'd be like, oh, right, sausages, that's tea, sausages, boom. And I'll have bought them from a shop, put them in the oven, maybe. And that, well, no, I mean, appreciate they have to be cooked. And then that would be it, it's sausages, and do what you want with that, make it into a sandwich, I don't know. Suzanne, oh, it's nothing special. Sweet and sour sausages from an animal that I killed myself. Then I made the sausages, then I cooked them. And then I made them even more tasty by making them sweet and sour. Probably serve with two side dishes and rice. I love her. We love her so much. One day, Wan Hong Lo. Oh, I'm getting it. Chinese. Do submit your inappropriate Chinese jokes on the TNT chat. Wan Hong Lo. One, oh, I see, like one ball, one testicle hangs low. Is that it? Is that the funny? Oh, my God. Okay, we must speak to Fritz. Poor man. He's hanging on the line there like a one-armed burglar dangling from a window ledge with an itchy arse. Fritz, tell us some things.
Oh, well, it's great to talk to Katie. Absolutely. Well worth the wait, indeed. And hoping to bump into you tomorrow as well. Yeah, I was going to talk to you about chaffles, which is like the what for dinner sort of theme. But
good.
Chaffles are like waffles made with cheese and almond flour and things, courtesy of the Keto Twins on YouKnowWhoTube.
Oh, chaffles. So they're a waffle, but with cheese.
Yeah.
And they don't have any real. They don't have any. What?
There's no wheat. They're completely. They're not totally carbohydrate free. It's for the sort of keto plan where you're eating loads of fat and very little carbohydrate. And I just recommend the Keto Twins. But just to say that the last time I saw you was in Blackpool with Alex.
Ah, oh, that's so sweet. So just to explain to people, can you just tell people a little bit about Alex? Who is Alex Belfield?
Oh, Alex Belfield. He took over my life, as he probably did lots of other people, with his voice of reason. And, he was displaying his education about what actually went down and where. And how and by whom, and he was putting it out very, very interestingly, and I think he just ruffled far too many feathers on the dark side, and that's why he is where he is. And yeah. But you've seen him recently, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I haven't seen him in person, but I speak to him probably twice a week. So just for anybody who's not aware, Alex Belfield, because, yeah, just to update our listeners as well as us, Fritz, he was sentenced to 5.5 years in prison for the crime of speaking on YouTube. That's correct, isn't it, Fritz?
Yeah. Telling the truth.
It's unbelievable.
He was just telling the truth.
Yeah.
And it
truly
was all wound around. And But anyway, I'm going to be bringing one of my friends from the Stand in the Park group and tomorrow. And And also, I've had a couple of, sent an email to your lovely Mark regarding a Halloween thing we've got planned, and I'm not going to say much more about that. He might have already told you.
Oh, well, keep that on the down low.
Sounds like. Well,
keep that on the down low for now. We'll speak about it privately.
Yes.
Cool. Yes, exactly.
Wonderful. We will.
Well, listen, I very much look forward to seeing you and your glorious friend at my stand-up gig tomorrow night, or more of a kind of a gathering of the good where we laugh at the madness together. Amazing. Please pass on my very best wishes to all, and this goes to everybody out there, everybody involved with Stand in the Park, and the fact that that network is continuing, it's building, it's growing, and I know that we're very much hoping to bring TN on tour in combination with our speakeasies and your Stand in the Park network very soon. So thank you so much, Fritz. I will see you tomorrow night. What a great thing to be able to say to a listener on the radio, isn't it? Keto. We can think, can't we, therefore, that Fritz is going to be turning up looking chiseled and toned. If you're doing the keto thing, it means the idea is it takes away all kind of your fatty layer so that you become much more honed and toned because your muscles expose themselves. I should keep my eye out for Fritz, I think so. I mean, honestly, I think crazy diets are a bit crazy, but that's, whatever makes you happy and whatever gets you through, that's what we say, isn't it? So, my darlings, we are now going to talk Trump. Because the attacks are coming in on all sides, and you can really feel it today. Like when you see when you look around at the news agenda, and you see these attacks coming in, it is like sort of it's like 360, right? So when attacks come in and they're really going for you, it's almost like surround sound attacks. One of the first one, and the one that the BBC are just loving. Is that Mike Pence? So you'll know Mike Pence, VP under Trump. And if you ever meet Pence, it's very funny because he has a way of making you feel like you've already done something naughty. He just has that way. And usually, in my case, obviously, I just have done something naughty, so there's probably just guilt there anyway. But he has a way of he almost can see your naughtiness in you because he's so upstanding. He's such a good Christian. He's been married to his wife since, I don't know, birth, but no, after an appropriate amount of age. He's like, he won't dine with any other woman ever unless his wife is present. I'm not knocking any of these things. I'm just telling you, he's straight as a board. If you needed a, what do you call those measury things with an air bubble in? Spirit measure. Is that right? Spirit stick, yardstick, spirit stick, spirit measure. Yes. If you needed a spirit measure and you didn't have one to hand, you could use Mike Pence. He's that straight. If you lay Mike Pence down, if you were doing shelving, you could use Mike Pence's bottom to do your shelving because he has a spirit level in the middle of his spine. It is that up straight, super straight. His hair, never one hair out of place. I mean, I'm supporting and celebrating him because he stands like a man and he's straight up and down and you're getting no messing with Mike Pence. But the BBC are loving him today because he's out and he is full on digging in on Trump. And I can see why. If you're going to run as a candidate, You have to differentiate, and you may as well differentiate. You're not going to win the MAGA maniac Trump base because they already hate you because they had a noose up to hang you with on January the 6th. You may as well let them go. And you may as well appeal to Americans who love the Constitution, love a straight up and down guy, and love the church, and love all things upstanding like marriage. So let's take a listen to Mike Pence, super in control, super upright, and super, super authentic in the way he delivers this. Take a listen.
As I've said many times, on that fateful day, President Trump's words were reckless. They endangered my family and everyone at the Capitol. But the American people deserve to know that on that day, President Trump also demanded that I choose between him and the Constitution. Now voters will be faced with the same choice. I chose the Constitution, and I always will. My former running mate continues to insist that I had the right to overturn the election. But President Trump was wrong then, and he's wrong now.
Oof, big line. And, you know, if you're in any way aware of sort of the American culture and the American audiences, and especially, I guess, audiences I've stood in front of for the last 5 years, the Second Amendment Constitution, you speak of that within the MAGA network. And you could see why he was doing a pause there. I stand with the Constitution and I always will. And he's been told, wait for applause. But he hasn't really got the audience with him, or they haven't moved them enough. So they're not quite up with him. There's a kind of an awkward delay. But that was the applause line. There wasn't enough energy in the room to bring it. But anyway, so that's him coming out, marking his territory, pushing towards January the 6th. You see, the January 6th push on that day, he tried to rip up the Constitution. Push, January the 6th, because all the noise is building with January 6th. And the idea is that what happened on January the 6th will be the vehicle that will be used to prevent Trump from being the candidate for the Republicans. So next up, you have Steve Bannon. And if you know about Trump's kind of core inner circle, Steve Bannon is one of them. Steve Bannon runs The War Room, one of the most listened to podcast radio shows in America. So I've been on The War Room a number of times. So there's The War Room with Bannon. And Bannon is a key ally. You know, he's the true believer in Trump. He won't let him falter. He won't let him fail. In fact, he's just said, thinking about our discussion last week about the nephew of JFK. Notice how I've learnt my lesson there, the nephew. He said, the only two voices we want to hear this election, or should be hearing, is Robert Kennedy and Trump, because he knows that those are the two voices speaking the truths. Anyway, so now Bannon, I think yesterday, acknowledged that he has been subpoenaed. Mm-hmm. See, link to top of the show. I'm telling you, you think this is just an old lady ranting at the radio, the level of preparation, truly, attention to detail. So Steve Bannon had been subpoenaed, S-U-B-P-O-E-N-A. E-D. S-U-B, sub, bean, P-O-E-N-A-E-D, subpoenaed, to provide documents and testimony to a federal grand jury investigating, guess what? January 6th. So you've got Pence out and promoted by BBC saying Trump basically wanted to rip up the Constitution on January the 6th. You now have Bannon, so Trump's, you know, big rallying supporter, almost the spokesperson of Trump, if you will, coming out, and he's now been dumped on with a subpoena. And if you know the history of Steve Bannon, currently, he currently stands guilty of criminal contempt of Congress in July 22. Oh, please. He's been sentenced to 4 months in prison. That's hanging over him. But that sentence is paused while he appeals. So whilst he has a four-month sentence hanging over him and he's appealing it for defying a subpoena, they've subpoenaed him again. So you see what's happening here. You see the web that they're building around Bannon to try and haul him in. They don't want him on the war room. They don't want the war room to be able to, to be able to stay live. They want Steve Bannon down before this election. They want to get rid of Bannon because he's very, very helpful for Trump. So that's the second information point, if you will. So Pence on the BBC, Bannon being subpoenaed again, despite already having a four-month guilty verdict hanging over him, four-month prison sentence for defying an original subpoena. And we're getting to the point, of course, where what he's being subpoenaed for, no one really knows, no one really cares, no one really looks at that. They just want to use it as the mechanism for getting Bannon's voice off of the airways before the election really begins. Okay, so that's one other. And then you've got January the 6thers, as I call them. So our 6thers, people who were there on January the 6th. So Dr. Simone Gold, you may know her name. She spent 50 days in prison for going up the steps on January the 6th. Depends how you want to identify. I've stayed in their apartment, so I would say it isn't just her bodyguard. But anyway, John Strand, he's an underwear model as well. I mean, I don't know, that's not funny, nor is it relevant. I just needed to tell you because I know things. Anyway, it's not funny at all, actually, because John Strand was there on January the 6th, as was I. And John Strand has just been sentenced to 32 months. Inside prison for the crime of walking up some steps. And you could say, well, no one knows who John Strand is. Why does it matter? But of course, it does matter, because if you look at this in 360 surround sound, Pence, Jan 6, BBC. Steve Bannon, subpoenaed again, Jan 6. Jan 6, people who were there, Jan 6, 2020. Just being sentenced now. Now, John was just sentenced. I was texting with his with Simone Gold, 3 days ago, was it? June 1st it was. Sorry, pardon me. June 1st. 32 months inside. After 4 years of no life, of waiting, of 4 years, he's now lost, three more years of his life. And then what after? And for the crime of what? And so true for other of my friends. Some guilty of sedition, 23 years. I mean, so many of the people I've spent time on stages with, gone, really. Gone, their lives taken because of this evil vendetta that is Brandon Strack, who he would absolutely support me saying, the campest, gayest man with the sparkliest jacket you could ever meet, the most glorious hairdresser by trade, you know? Did time and house arrest for January the 6th. Truly, the evil and the darkness. And I, obviously for me, quite a personal level. And for people that know, I was going out for January the 6th and I was held January the 5th. I checked in at Heathrow and there was a sudden shadow. And I know that sudden shadow and I know what it means. And then either side of me, men in blazers with radios and things telling me that I wouldn't be getting on that flight. And I was held then for 20 hours at Heathrow. And then a senior congressman, Louis Gohmert, intervened. And suddenly, strangely, I was allowed to get on a flight. And so I arrived in DC just as the curfew was put on to the city. Obviously, I ignored that curfew and went out and about in order to go and get the true stories from the road. So yes, I just went down a bit of a rabbit hole there. But anyway, you see what's coming in behind Trump. I'm making an executive decision. The commercials can go screw themselves because I want to play you this clip of Trump. Now, bear in mind what we've just heard. We've heard Pence saying he doesn't care. I care about the Constitution. Trump doesn't. We've got Bannon being subpoenaed for a second time with a prison sentence already. We've got my friends from January the 6th just being sentenced now. That's me banging on the desk. Just being sentenced now? Really? 3 years later, and then take a listen. This is Trump just a couple of days ago answering some of what's going on as this 360 net pulls in tight around him. Take a listen to the great man.
When I get back into the Oval Office, we will totally obliterate the deep state. We will establish a Truth and Reconciliation Commission to declassify and publish all documents on deep state spying, censorship, and corruption. By the way, they spied on my campaign. They got caught. Can you imagine if we, let's take Barack Hussein Obama, let's say we spied on his campaign, you got caught. What do you think would happen? You think it would just be some stories in only a few newspapers, because most of them don't even want to write it? They would have brought back the electric chair. That's what they would have done. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. Unequal justice. And I will require every federal employee to pass a new civil service test. How about the president? Let's start with the president. Demonstrating an understanding of our Constitution. To stop the local Marxist prosecutors who release rapists and murderers while persecuting conservatives. On day one of my new administration, I will direct the DOJ to investigate every radical district attorney and attorney general in America for their illegal, racist, in reverse enforcement of the law.
Absolutely. I mean, golly, I'm just looking at the... I'm just looking at all of your comments here on the chat. I get all my info from you, Katie, as I know it's truthful. That's so sweet. Well, thank you. I mean, I try my best. And as you know, and I think Mike is very much a subscriber to this idea that when I cock up, as in when I was saying the other day that Robert Kennedy's run, that he was the son of JFK, you know, as soon as I realize that I've been an utter twat, I apologize straight away. And it would never be a deliberate obfuscation. Oh, get that word. From the truth, from me, it would just be me being and making a cock up. But anything I bring you from my heart. And more importantly, anything I bring you, I try and bring you having gone there or been there, you know. Hence, I speak honestly of January 6th and America, having been those January 6ers are my colleagues. They're my stage mates. They're my MAGA troop or tribe. So, but thank you. That's very kind. And they're using lawfare against Trump, just as the British government did with Tommy Robinson. Absolutely. And as they have done, you know, with myself in terms of a new law made just for me that says if you perceive today that I've seriously harmed you with words, you can sue me. That's a law today in the UK. They made it up just for me. And same for Alex Belfield. You know, Alex Belfield, that's a new law just for Alex Belfield that says if you make YouTube videos calling out people, then you can be sentenced as being a stalker. And it's every single time, two-tier justice, there is no justice. You know, I really much preferred it when I believed in the law, and I really much preferred it when I believed in the police. And I appreciate there's good police officers out there, please, no disrespect. But utterly unbelievable the Dems are getting away with this, destroying people's lives. Yeah, the January 6ers feel utterly alone. And they feel utterly let down. And many, many of them wonder what on earth they were even fighting for. You know, what on earth were they standing for? And that's the problem is people turn. One of the things people do in a vacuum or a void is they turn in on themselves. And it's one of the things our side does so horribly, is they snitch and bitch at each other. You know, ask Lawrence Fox what he thinks of Farage, ask Farage what he thinks of someone else, ask someone else what they think of Tommy, ask Tommy what he thinks. It is not good. They're holding the line is very poor. Okay, so my darlings, with your kind permission, I want to head on to another story. And it's about the fraud report. And I know, you can say, Katie, I think that sounds quite dull. But in fact, that is the story. The fraud report, what's behind it, should be everywhere. Everyone should be in some way. I don't wish to just say we should perpetually be outraged, but I've got the bit that matters in this report. And guess who's brought this up? Absolutely no one. So there's the annual fraud report. It's been brought out. And as soon as things start to be very, very well hidden or very well conceived, and I can see the media strategy to hide the thing, that's when I care, because I want to know what it is. So A, bringing something out when you've got Prince Harry walking about with his balding head, accusing Piers Morgan of phone hacking, which, you know, Piers Morgan is the, well, I won't say the words I have for Piers Morgan, but so that's the headlines. Prince Harry. Very convenient. Let's talk Prince Harry. So a convenient time for the government to quietly bring out the fraud report or allow it to be released. So fraud report comes out. What's the next thing they do in their media strategy for hiding a report, do you think? How do you hide an annual fraud report that could show, will show, does show that the government have wasted more money than at any other time in history? What you do is you find the most dull person that you can on the planet to talk about it. So 3 Ds, distract, Harry, defer, so put it off until a time that you want to talk of it, and deter, so defer and deter. So deter people from any sense of interest in it. And in order to do this, they brought out, I'm going to say a woman, I'm going to put that in inverted commas, called Lee Hopley, Director of Economic Insight and Research. So A, give the person who looks dull also a really, really dull title.
Director of Economic Insight and Research.
Already I want to poke myself in the eye, right? Already I want to blow out my own brains because that is so dull. Okay, now then, and then you look at the person that they're talking about, this Lee,
Director of Economic Insight.
And if I could, let me paint you a picture. The sort of person that, you know, if they talk to me, I mean, just the dullness is real. But it's the sort of person, if they talk to me, I would feel I would stand there and I would feel my personality running away. I could see it. You know, I'm a very visual person. I would see my personality draining away from me like blood from a stab victim. And I would see all the sparkly stuff in my soul be spent from my body if Lee Hopley, Director of Economic Research and Intelligence, came and spoke to me. It would be terrible. She's sort of a blur of fawn and paleness. This woman that they've used to present, I say woman, the fraud report is like an egg white omelette, but, you know, less colourful. Listen, if you can bear it, to the dreadfully dull woman who was brought on to hide the fraud report.
UK Finance has published its annual fraud report. This looks at the value and volume of fraud carried out across the UK economy in 2022. And the report is based on information provided to us by our members. The big numbers are that over £1.2 billion was lost to fraudsters in the economy last year. And this involved nearly 3 million instances of fraud. These numbers are big, but slightly down on where we were in 2021, both in terms of the number of cases and the value of losses. Better news, the industry also prevented £1.2 billion worth of fraud, and that's the prevention that we can measure. That equates to over 60p in every pound's worth of fraud attempted. There's a lot happening underneath the surface with different types of frauds and scams and how they've evolved, particularly coming out of the COVID period. You can find all the detail in our report, which was produced in partnership with FeedsEye on our website at www.ukfinance.org.uk.
Hey, if anyone just joined TNT Radio, that is not the normal quality of commentary, just that last noise. That was just me nodding off while thinking about ways I could end my life with that awful woman. So you see what they do? Bring someone out who's vanilla, grey, magnolia, nothing. Make her bag on www.co.uk. Did you hear what she said in there? This is where the interrogation, if you know how the media works, it's so easy to be able to articulate this stuff so that you guys can see it. I'm sure many of you do already. But did you hear her say, the big number, so of all the dullness, you don't listen, you're not listening. Here's the bit they want you to listen to. She said, the big number, 1.3 billion of fraud. The big number, 1. So if you're in that dull thing, you want the headline for your boss, you can't be asked to listen, you've taken away the big number. 1.3 billion of fraud committed online, da-da-da-da-da. Okay. Let's just press pause on what you're being fed, shown, spoon-fed, asked to look at. And let's look at what's inside the fraud report that you should be looking at. The DSHC also marked supplier offers as VIP. So here we get down to what actually they don't want you to see. So the ministers, government ministers, signing off on contracts during COVID. VIP recommendations by ministers. So this was contracts that are being pushed by ministers for obviously bounce back into their own pockets. VIP recommendations by ministers received 6 billion of 7.9 billion testing contracts. So 7.9 billion on testing contracts, 6 billion of this, 6 billion went to ministers that were linked, well, went to contracts linked directly to ministers which were labelled VIP because they had a minister linked to them. The government awarded 22 contracts to Randocs worth a total value of 776 million. And of course, the government is linked to Randocs directly. Priority suppliers, that's ministers linked to suppliers, received 6 billion. Here we are with the PPE Medpro. This is the one that Michelle Moan was linked to. Do you remember? So PPE Medro, I mean, I can't, my head's about to explode, secured two contracts worth a combined value of over 200 million and is now the subject of an investigation by the National Crime Agency. And Randocs, who got 777 million, have failures in record keeping, gaps in conflict of interest declarations, you bet they do, a lack of scrutiny and a lack of sign off. And that's me delving for what? I don't know, an hour and a half. So all of the Michelle Moan stuff covered up, all of the Randocs stuff covered up, 6 billion linked directly to ministers covered up, and 7.9 billion that was basically just wafted down the river. I'm also looking for the billions that were lost to, do you remember Track and Trace? Or Test and Trace, was it? And Test and Trace was absolutely linked to the government. So you see what I'm trying to articulate, possibly not as well as I should. The grey woman telling you about the dull report hidden behind Prince Harry and the big headline, that's what she said, the big number is 1.3 billion of fraud online. Oh, no, love. No, it isn't. The big number is 6 billion of 7.9 billion of our money that went straight effectively into ministers' pockets, and we know it and we saw it. And the big number is PPE Pedro, who got, let me just check the correct number, over 200 million for two contracts. And Michelle Moan bought a luxury yacht with that. She's Baroness Moan. She's a peer. She still is. And no one's doing anything about it. Although she is now under criminal investigation, but no one will talk of it. Do you see how cross it makes me? It makes me cross. It makes me cross because it's so easy to see through. You know, it's so easy to see through, and yet they get away with it. You wonder, not with us, they don't get away with it, but with everybody else, they seem to get away with it. The media, you know, the bosses just are laughing at ordinary people. They're laughing. And it's not funny. And it makes me angry because ordinary people aren't stupid. And they don't deserve to be lied to. And they do deserve journalists who actually care, but those journalists don't make it. Oh, quite a thing. It's a disgrace. It is really a disgrace. My darlings, look at you on the chat. She's about as exciting as listening to a coffin warp. Oh, I see. I put those two words together, coffin warp, but a coffin warp. She's about as exciting as listening to a coffin warp. That's really good. I like that very much. Very, very good. Okay, my darlings, I am going to just briefly, I desperately want to fit it in before I'm told to be quiet, which, yes, I'm about to be told to be quiet. Did you see the story about the crocodile? 18-year-old crocodile, never had sex in her life, laid eggs. I think the crocodile is having a laugh. I think the crocodile is a complete hussy. I think she came from Costa Rica. I think she's been at it like a, I think she's probably called Tiffany, this crocodile. I think she's been at it like a hooker with kids to feed. But the scientists really want to believe the idea that this American crocodile, yeah, blame the Americans, in the Parque Reptiliania in July 2018, didn't ever had sex, but yet laid eggs. And they've published their research in the Royal Society journal, Biology Letters. I think it's one big hoax. And I think the crocodile has had all of them on and has been joking about it the whole time. And they think that the crocodile's never had sex in its life, but actually this crocodile's been banging away like a heavy metal band. That was quite a, is her surname really Moan? Yeah, it's M-O-N-E, Michelle Moan. And Michelle Moan, it's very easy to find actually, Michelle Moan on the BBC calling me an insult to British businesswomen and an insult to businesswomen's integrity everywhere. Could dine out on that clip for a little bit, couldn't I? Anyway, sometimes, as my mother says, all you have to do is wait. And that's precisely what we're all doing for Jeremy Vine. My darlings, that's another show gone. How does it even happen? None of us know. And so to the birds we look, as I tell my children, look up, look up. None of us spend enough time looking up anymore. Look up to the skies and we will find our answers there. And if not, we'll at least get a suntan on our funny little faces. My darlings, I will see you same time, same place tomorrow before I hit the road to take stand-up to Bournemouth. I hope you all have a glorious evening. Eat, drink and be merry, or sunbathe, tan and feel better. My name is Katie Hopkins and this is TNT Radio.